while Ardsdale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
Some of you know this about me, and some of you might not know. I like sports. I do like sports. I do like sports very much, various sports. I wouldn't say I'm crazy about sports. It's just that I like sports. I consider myself reasonably fit, quite fit. And you might not be able to tell. My six-pack is hidden by all that bubble wrap. I'm trying to keep it safe. I don't want it to break. You know, when something's really precious to you and, you know, you want to keep it, you want to protect it, right? But I consider myself reasonably fit, quite athletic. Listen, I could still run. I could still run for a bus and, you know, and as long as the bus is just there, I can run, you know. Don't put me in a race. You might be surprised what happens. And hey, listen, we've got this health and well-being event afterwards. So perhaps afterwards I can go and find out just how fit and healthy I am. Just a few months ago, in the summer of this year, our screens were absolutely inundated with, you know, images from the Olympic Games in Tokyo. And those of us who were interested, we watched the world's best athletes battling it out for, you know, for all sorts of medals, all sorts of accolades, the prizes on offer. And who can forget, those of you who watched it, who can forget our very own sister? She's a sister in the Lord, by the way. Yeah, did you know that? She's of the household of faith, this one. Elaine Thompson-Hara of Jamaica. Woo! Any Jamaicans in the house? Don't be shy. I don't understand. Shy and Jamaican don't go together. What's this? You know, it's like quiet and Nigerian. I mean, you know, what's going on? Oh, I see. Yeah, not shy, just modest. I've been corrected. You know, because the Lord is here. This woman wasn't shy. She smashed records. You know, 100-meter holder, 200-meter holder, 5-time Olympic champion. This is the fastest woman alive on earth today. She's the current world record holder for 100 meters. Great results, right? Let me show you a picture of someone else who's done really good things. Good things, good things. This man, his name is Courtney Freckleton. Courtney Freckleton. That's his birth name. Some people might recognize him. Some people might know him. He's also known as Nines. He's a rapper. Multi-award winning rapper. He grew up in Northwest London. His net worth is close to £1 million. This guy grew up on a housing estate in Harlesden. He saw difficulty, he saw challenge, he saw what was going on in his neighborhood. And music was a platform, and he did good things with music, won lots of awards. He set up career workshops for the young people in his neighborhood. He set up, you know, courses on music law, script writing, was in the process of building AstroTurf for the children to play, those who want to have football, all year, weatherproof play area. You know, set up a project every Christmas giving out turkeys in Harlesden. Here's a guy who has done and been recognized for doing so much good. And then a couple of years ago, 18 months ago or so, he set up a business. And his business was to import central heating boilers into the country. What nobody knew was that he was using those boilers to import cannabis. And last year he was sentenced to jail for importing over £280,000 worth of cannabis. How could somebody who has done such good make such dumb choices? Why did he make a silly investment like that? As good as he was, how could he get things so wrong? Today I want us to look at another successful man. Someone who had made his name, and in my opinion, made his name, made his money, had his money, and made a worse decision than Nines, than Courtney Freckleton. Made a worse decision than that. And the man I want us to consider is referenced in our Bible text today. We often refer to him as the rich young ruler. we're told that this man came to Jesus. He came to learn the way of salvation. And Jesus gave him an invitation. Jesus said, you know, follow me. Jesus gave him an invitation to follow, be a disciple. And at first glance, it looked like that was what was going to happen. You look at it, you think, wow, this guy was, you know, he's got it. He's worked it out. He was ready to do it. He was ready to pay the price. Jesus told him, he said, go, sell everything, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and then follow me. This man who seems to have it all, or have had it all, had an opportunity to invest in eternal riches. We know the story. We heard it read just now. He decided not to. After hearing the words of Jesus, he went away sad because of his wealth, because of his treasure, because of his earthly possessions. The King James Version says he went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Grieved, like he'd been bereaved. Now, you might be listening today, and you know, or you are listening right now, and maybe you don't have great material wealth. But maybe there's one thing. Maybe there are some things. Maybe it's many things that are hindering you from making your own eternal investment. And I hope you're going to pay attention as I journey through this text, as we go through this, and see what you can learn from this man's error. You know, if you read through the whole of the New Testament, read through the Gospels in particular, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there are many places in the Gospels where Jesus approached people and said, follow me. Jesus said to them, follow me. This one's different. Jesus didn't approach him. This guy came to Jesus. He came with the intent of receiving from Jesus. He came with the intent of seeing, of meeting, of encountering Jesus. Verse 17 tells us he even came running. Didn't just come, he ran to Jesus. Think about that in today's terms. This guy, I mean, he's there, he's wealthy, he's young, maybe good looking, maybe, you know, 6'4" like me, full of muscles like me, maybe, you know, he's buff, he's got it going on. He is all that and a bag of chips, you know, because he's rich, he's young, and he's in high places. He's a ruler. He had energy, motivation, focus. You know, think about it in today's terms. He's set on it, you know, his religious focus. You know, he's a guy that goes on YouTube and listens to the best preaching. He follows the best theologians. He probably subscribes to the best podcasts. On a personal level, maybe, you know, he was a good guy. Because there was nothing that we read about him that gave us any sense that he had a dodgy character. He was a good guy. He probably did charity volunteering. He seemed like the kind of guy perfect to be a disciple of Jesus. This guy's paper was marked, and he brought it to Jesus for Jesus to certify it. But that's not how the story ended. You know, Jesus was on his own mission. Jesus was actually, at this point where this happened, Jesus was going to Jerusalem as part of his own assignment. And out of nowhere, this man runs up, kneels before him. Jesus looks at him, and he saw invariably within this man, Jesus saw promise. Jesus saw potential. And that's why I love the Lord. I love Jesus. You know, he sees beyond our faults, beyond our flaws. Jesus sees beyond our failings, beyond our mistakes and our mess-ups. Jesus looks beyond that. He sees beyond the mask. He sees beyond the fakery. He sees beyond the pretense, beyond the weirdness. He sees beyond the idiosyncrasies. He sees even beyond our insecurities, and he loves us. He loves us still. Marvin Sapp, great singer-songwriter. He sang, he said, he saw the best in me. You know that song? When everyone else around could only see the worst in me. Still, he saw the best in me. So this guy runs up to Jesus. And he's expecting Jesus to give him a pat on the back for the things he's done. This guy thought he's made the grade. He kept all those commands. And he laid out his CV in front of Jesus. Hey, the law says this and this and that, and I've done that. Tick, tick, tick. He brought his exam paper. He had awarded himself a pass mark. He said, no, I'm okay. I've done okay. I'm a good guy. And he brought it to Jesus. Unfortunately, saints, that's not how it works. Look what it says in verse 21. Jesus looked at this guy, it says, despite all that, and loved him. You know, I was going to say earlier on, this story, out of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, this story features in three of the four. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, every single one of them tells us that after his encounter with Jesus, he left sorrowful, he left sad. The guy was on the verge of depression. In Matthew, it tells us that he was a young man. Luke tells us he was a ruler, he was a member of the religious class, the high class. And Mark, as we read today, tells us that he was rich. And that's the reason why he's referred to as the rich young ruler. When you look at, you know, the three gospels, the synoptic gospels. But Mark also tells us, as we see from this verse, that Jesus looked at him. Even with his faults, even with his foolishness and his failings and his flaws, Jesus looked at him and loved him. You see, to experience the love of Jesus, there's only one thing you need to do. Come. That's it. That's it. Nothing else. Just come as you are. But that doesn't mean that Jesus will leave you as you are. This guy came to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and loved him. But Jesus wasn't prepared to leave him as he was. Come as you are doesn't mean stay as you are. There has to be a difference between how you come and how you leave. And we see it demonstrated here. It's easy to think when you look at it first glance, you know, this guy's got everything. His brain's screwed on. Come on, he doesn't look like, you know, he's talking foolishness. He's maintained his wealth. He's maintained his status. And I reckon that, you know, with all of that wealth, with all of that, you know, exposure, I'm sure he's had an encounter. He's had an understanding of who Jesus was. He's had an understanding of the kind of things that Jesus teaches. That's why he came. He was prepared for encountering Jesus. And you know, one of the best examples we can actually learn from this man is how he came. Even with all that he had achieved, even with all that he had attained, even with his status, he didn't come with any airs and graces. He didn't roll in to Jesus. You know, some people walk as if they're holier than the Holy Spirit. Walk in really slow motion. You know, chest out, shoulders back. Come on, brothers, don't pretend like you don't do this. Yeah. And then when you're talking to Jesus, you have to talk really slowly. Because if you don't talk slowly, nobody will pay you any respect. And you don't realize that you sound like someone who can't breathe. Just be yourself, for goodness sake. This guy didn't come with airs and graces. He wasn't trying to show Jesus who he was. Scripture says he ran, and what did he do? He bowed his knee before the Lord. Here's a guy who had all he wanted. His life was full. He probably lived life to the full. He had great riches. Yet he ran and knelt before Jesus. You know why? I'll tell you why. Because he may have had much, but he lacked everything. His life was full, yet he lived a life that was empty. Absolutely empty. He lived in emptiness, and he may have had great riches, but I am telling you, saints, the man was spiritually bankrupt. Let me tell you a profound truth, and I want you to never forget this. No matter where you are in your journey in life, there will be a time, there will be a point where you come running to Jesus. If you haven't experienced that moment in your life, keep on living. Keep on living. However, experience has shown me that it is better to come to Jesus because you want to than to come to Jesus because you need to. Experience has shown me it is better, it is more pleasant to look at your choices and choose Jesus than to have burned every door of choice, burned every door of opportunity, be broken and bashed and bruised by life and have no choice but to come to Jesus. Although this man seemed like he had a lot going on, there was something missing. He asked Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, someone asked the question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? That tells me, number one, this guy knows eternal life exists. And number two, he knew he didn't have eternal life. But this verse also showed me he wanted eternal life. But as we read on from the story, you know, we reckon, oh, there's another one. He knew it existed. He knew he didn't have it. He wanted it. And he knew who to go to inquire about eternal life. He knew he was in the right place to ask that question. He came to the right person. And on that basis, to be honest, I challenge you today. Why do you come to church? Do you just want to be in the church of Jesus? Or do you want to meet with Jesus? Actually meet with Jesus? See, let me tell you, nobody who comes to Jesus and meets him leaves the same way. It's not possible. If you meet Jesus, there will be a change. Something will shift. It's the reason I prayed that prayer for you today. That something will change. It's my prayer that indeed you will meet Jesus today. And something will change. Because it's not possible for you to meet Jesus and there be no change in your life. No matter how many times you meet him over and over again, you will experience change over and over again. Amen? When you encounter Jesus, it's not about how you come, it's about how you leave. The truth of it is, this man's error, this man's sin, had nothing to do with his human relationships. His sin wasn't against his brother, mother, father, sister. It wasn't about that. It wasn't about friend and colleague. It wasn't about that. His real sin was in the first commandment. The first commandment says, "You shall have no other gods before me." And this guy had a god in his life. And you know where I'm going. You can sense where I'm going. And that's why Jesus told him, go, sell everything, give it away, and follow me. Saints of God, you must love the Lord enough. You must be willing enough to get rid of every little god, every tiny god in your life. This text tells us that unfortunately, the guy left sorrowful. He left grieved. He came to Jesus hungry for change, and he left without his hunger being fulfilled. I pray that doesn't happen to us. He came the way he was, and he left the exact same way he came. I pray that doesn't happen to us. We come to church week after week after week. Where's the change? Is there change taking place in our lives? And some people, there's no change because, you know, these people, they just come to church. They come, they tick the box, they do the social thing. Hey, mommy. Hey, sister. Hey, brother. What's up? How you doing? Oh, God bless you. God bless you. Because these are people who like Jesus. They don't know Jesus. They don't walk with Jesus. You know, somebody asked a question once. I heard this question asked. Hey, who is Jesus to you? And this guy answers, Jesus? Jesus is my boy. What? What? Jesus is your boy? You've missed the mark. You've completely missed the whole point. People are like, oh, Jesus is my main man upstairs. Yeah. Cool. Jesus is my co-pilot. Sorry, he's not even the pilot. He's your co-pilot. Wow. I'm sure Jesus must be honored to be flying on your plane. Because that's not how it works, saints. Jesus said to this guy, you know the commandments. And the guy it's almost like he was disappointed when he answered Jesus. He said, listen, I've kept all these commandments since I was a boy. You know, he's showing Jesus, I'm a good guy, Jesus. I know what to do, and I do is to do that. No problem. I learned it. I've got it. I've been doing it. Maybe he thought he was good enough. Maybe. Jesus didn't say, oh, you've been doing it since you were a boy? Nice one, my man. Jesus didn't say, oh yeah, I'm your boy, I get it, well done. You the man. No. Jesus didn't even say, you know what, I hear what you're saying. There's only a tiny little bit left that you need to do. A little bit more decency. You only need a little bit of kindness here, a little bit more integrity, a little bit more courage, a little bit more reverence. Jesus didn't do that. He answers this man, says, go, sell everything, give it away. Sell it first, then give it all away, then come and follow me. He knew what the hindrance was for this guy. And I'm asking you today, has the Lord spoken to you about the hindrance in your own life? What is standing between you and Jesus? Pride. Insecurity. Opinions of people. The guilt, shame from your past. What is standing between you and Jesus? Money. It was money that stood between this guy and Jesus, the rich young ruler. And just like many of us, he was completely unaware of his own faults and failings. He was unaware. But thank God, Jesus showed them to him. In the same way that he showed them to him so that he could get himself fixed up. Apologies, He showed that to him so that he could get himself fixed up in the way that he shows us our faults so that we can get fixed up. The unfortunate tragedy is this. Even though he came to Jesus and he was told, Sorry, multimedia team. Am I fiddling with it too much? Push it there. There we go. Thank you. Sorry. They're looking at me funny from the back. Pray for me. I think I might have to go out through the side door. The worst tragedy about all of this, this guy came to Jesus seeking eternal life. He was told the price that he would pay. And you know how he responded? He turned his back on Jesus. This is one of the few situations where you see someone turn their back and walk away from Jesus. And to me, that's the absolute unthinkable. To be in the presence of Jesus, to be in the presence of the Messiah, to be in the presence of the Son of God, to be in the presence of God Himself, and not get anything out of it. Again, I caution you, it's easy to judge Him. What about us? How many times are we in the presence of God? And the presence of God washes around us, and it washes over us. But it doesn't quite wash through us. We had an argument with our spouse this morning, and the pride is still bubbling in us. Right there in the presence of Jesus is the time you should have gone and said, I'm sorry, forgive me. You yelled at your children in a way that you shouldn't have. Right there, I'm sorry, forgive me. Ask yourself the last time you used those words. When was the last time you said, forgive me, to someone? And if it's been a long time, I'm telling you now, you need to check your heart. Because you're not perfect. You've offended somebody from near or far. When was the last time you asked someone to forgive you? We only think about self. Me, myself and I. Me. No. Get over yourself. Brothers and sisters, every time you come to church, you come into the presence of God. Do not leave the same way you came. Don't be like this young man. This guy held his destiny in his hands. He had the power to say yes or no. Yet he turned his back on God. He turned his back on eternity. He turned his back on the Savior. And he refused to follow. He said, what do I have to pay? And Jesus gave him the bill to pay. See, suddenly his interest, dissipated. His eagerness disappeared. His enthusiasm faded out. The same guy who ran courageously to meet Jesus knelt at his feet. The next moment he gets up and walks away. One moment he lays his successes and his achievements before Jesus. The next moment he's carrying sorrow in his heart as he's walking away. He knew there was a price to pay. He knew he needed to pay something. He never imagined he would be asked to pay everything. You know, some theologians debate and there's this whole thing about, why didn't Jesus try to persuade the young man? Why didn't Jesus, make him change his mind? And you've heard me say this, saints. Even the Messiah did not have a Messiah complex. Case in point, the two thieves on the cross. I said this a couple of months ago. Two thieves on the cross. One repented. One believed. Hey, no problem. It was counted to him as righteousness. He was saved. The other did not believe, and he was not saved. Jesus died for the salvation of all, but not all will accept his offer of salvation. And Jesus is at peace with that. Jesus is fine with that. And this story is an account, is an example of this. Similarly, I understand, I define my calling in a similar way. You know, I'm not here to save anyone. I don't do, goodness me, I'm not the Holy Spirit. I don't have that power. That power belongs to God. I don't save anyone. What I do is I point them in the way of salvation. And it gets on my nerves a little bit. There's a little bit of arrogance and presumptuousness when I'm hearing Christians saying, listen, if I witness to someone, they must come to faith. Excuse you? Who are you? What's this? So anyways, it wasn't Jesus that failed this man. It was he that failed in his decision concerning Jesus. Yes, he had been concerned to keep the commandments. True. But he was more concerned about keeping his cash. Yes, he bent his knee before the Lord, but he did not bend his will before the Lord. Yes, he bowed his head before the Lord, but he did not bow his heart before the Lord. He wanted the eternity of heaven, but he was reluctant to let go of the security of the world. He struggled with all of these things. Scripture says he went away sorrowfully. And you know what Jesus did? Jesus let him go, let him go. Jesus let him go. It was his choice. Jesus didn't say, okay, hold on. Okay, wait. Come back. I'll meet you halfway. And let's talk about this. Can we negotiate? Jesus didn't do that. You know. And the truth of it is, I think that if Jesus had invited him to negotiate, I believe he would have negotiated. I believe, you know, if Jesus had perhaps laid out some terms and said, okay, let's do it this way. Why don't we do A, B, C, X, Y, Z? I believe this guy would have agreed to those terms, possibly. If Jesus had said, you know what, go away and pray about it, I think he would have prayed about it. But Jesus didn't give him that. Jesus didn't ask him to pray or lay out some terms or compromise to negotiate. Jesus said, this is the hindrance. This is the problem. Get rid of it. And we've got, we can do business. Let's talk. And he wasn't prepared to do that. Jesus' message to this man was very simple. You can be good enough and still get it wrong. Now, maybe this wasn't the end of the story. Maybe. Maybe the young man later came back and, you know, it just wasn't recorded in Scripture. Maybe. Maybe he, you know, he grieved over it and came back and, you know, met with Jesus again. Maybe. Went through the 5 stages of grief. Maybe. Maybe he processed his emotions. He got over himself and he got back on track with Jesus. Maybe so. But the best we have about this man is maybe. What about your story? How will your story end? On maybe? Well, you can change your story from maybe to surely by your choices today. You're listening to me today, and maybe you're like this man. You want to change. You want to possess eternal life. You're not sure what's going to make this possible. Maybe like him, you too, you know the scripture. You've been in Sunday school for the last 78 years. You know it all. True. Maybe. Maybe you're a person of good integrity, great moral character. You do say please and thank you and I'm sorry and forgive me and I'm here to help. And you say those things and you do those things, maybe. And the fact that you're listening to me right now actually tells me that you're searching for answers, maybe. Well, please understand that you too have an opportunity today. And I want to point something out very quickly. This guy had some opportunities throughout his life and he seized some of those opportunities, whether through, we don't know how he got his money. It might have been through investment, through inheritance. You know, who knows? Maybe he just worked hard. Either way, he was blessed. And yet, there was the greatest encounter laid out before him. He had an opportunity to encounter the love of Jesus. And verse 21 tells us that he did, that he experienced it. Jesus saw his desire and his sincerity. Jesus loved him. And Jesus gave him an opportunity. And I want to remind you, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, you are loved by Jesus. John 15 tells us that there is a greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 says a similar thing. It says that God demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And you may be here, and this could be that moment for you. Today might be your day to encounter Jesus. This guy had an opportunity to encounter Jesus' love. And he did encounter Jesus' love. But here is the thing. The opportunity didn't end there. More importantly, he wasn't just given an opportunity to encounter the love of Jesus. He was given an opportunity to enjoy a life with Jesus. In verse 21, Jesus says, "One thing you lack," he said, "go, sell everything you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Then, after you've done those things, come, follow me." Jesus was not telling this man to sell his possessions in order to buy his way into heaven. You don't pay for heaven. It's not a plane ride. Jesus' invitation shows, as I said, it's one thing to encounter the love of Jesus. It's another thing to enjoy a life with Jesus. This invitation was more than a one-off event. It wasn't just the destination. It was the journey. Jesus said, "I want to be part of the journey." All he had to do was dedicate his heart and his life. So back to you, with all the good that you've done in your life, will you accept the challenge? Will you let go of your own achievements, your own victories, your own successes? Will you let go of your own wealth, your own riches, your own goodness? Will you? Can you see, looking at this, that even with everything you've achieved, acquired, attained, you can never, with those things alone, you can still be good enough, actually, to get it wrong?
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information, or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.